Hey, welcome to the fourth episode of the Random Podcast from Heck. I am Tony, and with me is Sky. How you doing?
Great, how are you?
Pretty good. This is our new intro music, courtesy of DJ Ogre. So thank you so much for making this theme for us. So big thanks to Patreon supporter Dave McPhail. If you would like to support us, go to patreon.com/gmanfromheck. You can help us make this show more awesome than it already is. We just watched a Punisher trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think where you're at on Daredevil, because you've seen the Punisher in Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
Season 2, because you still haven't finished it.
No.
Because we're too busy watching Friends. What'd you think of the trailer?
I'm excited for it.
What's interesting about the Netflix trailers, because when they did it, Defenders one, they used a Nirvana song, Come As You Are, and this one uses, I don't know if you paid attention to music, but it's from Metallica, a band called Metallica, and the song is One. And because it's, so what's interesting is that they're using these real popular iconic songs into these Marvel characters, because usually it seems like, you know, if you think, well, I guess they did AC/DC in Iron Man 2, but in the other movies, they kind of stay away from real things like that, just to, I don't know, keep it separated into the Marvel universe or DC or whatever. So it's just interesting that with Netflix that they're starting to push this so much. So I'm trying to think if they used any music for like Iron Fist or Jessica Jones, but I guess we'll see with the next one. What I'm not sure about this Punisher series is if it's taking place after Daredevil season 2 and then with some flashbacks, because we see like his wife and kid, we see, you know, them get killed and all that. Because I imagine this is going to be flashbacks, that they're not going to go back and do, you know, before Daredevil. But we'll have to see. So I don't know how we really feel. I mean, I'm excited to see it. I'll watch it. It's, you know, it's going to be violent and all that. But, you know, because Punisher's not the nicest guy.
No.
It's like, you know, do you root for him? He's killing people. He's killing bad guys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess it's kind of like...
Death Note.
Yeah. It's just like when we talk about Death Note, where, you know, these guys deserve, you know, they've done some bad things, but...
Not the law.
Yeah. Judge Dredd is the law.
Yeah, true.
You haven't seen... You haven't... Yeah. We should watch those sometime.
Mm-hmm.
The old one is bad. Some people like it. Oh, we also saw a Tomb Raider trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you saw the original Tomb Raider, but I guess not.
I don't remember. I don't think I did.
Yeah, because your aunt really wanted you to watch it, and like maybe it didn't happen. So I, because we have those on DVD. So Tomb Raider is a successful, huge video game franchise. I can't even keep track of how many games there are, because they stopped numbering and rebooted it and all this stuff like that. So they're going back and starting over, making a new Tomb Raider movie, and... I'm curious how it'll do. I mean, you know, we'll see. It's another, you know, female-led action, since, you know, there used to not be a lot of that. So I don't know how you feel. You know, like, think about growing up with, like, all the superhero stuff you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even most of the movies, you know, everything's up until now has been with dudes in the lead. And then, you know, we finally got Wonder Woman, so we're finally seeing that. You know, then we, you know, of course we had Hunger Games, we had Atomic Blonde, which we still haven't seen. And, you know, so we're starting to get more, what they call strong female characters. Well, some people don't like that, because some people don't like if you call them female characters, because they're just characters. But the point is, we're starting to see more equality,
yeah,
I guess you can say. And what do you think about
that? Well, I'm really glad that they're starting to do things that do have, like, female stars. Because there were a lot of male stars, which is fine. But it's, like, it's nice to have the girls, too.
Or the women.
Women.
Because, yeah, I mean, you growing up, you didn't really make the distinction. You know, for you, it wasn't that big of a deal. Because you liked Spider-Man. I mean, Spider-Man and Batman.
Spider-Man.
Those were, like, your favorites. And... You know, it didn't matter. You didn't. It's not like you couldn't connect or enjoy the show because it wasn't a woman. But now you can kind of see that.
Yeah.
At the same time, we have DC doing Superhero Girls.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on that.
Get started on what?
Oh, I hate the name so much. It's so bad.
How come? Explain.
It's literally like Nerf Rebel. I hated Nerf Rebel because they made it so that all the other Nerf guns were only for boys and that Nerf Rebel was the one specifically for girls. And it was like, we should be like, oh, they finally made something for girls when girls could be playing with those for like however long they wanted. And then superhero girls. Like, why do you have to name it that? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Why can't it just be like superheroes? Why do they have to be superhero girls? It's just...
because all the characters are girls? They're younger versions?
They've had different TV shows and different like brand names that focus on only females and they don't show their gender in the title.
But this specifically is young version, girl versions of characters. Because you've read the comic.
Yes.
I don't know if you've watched any of the YouTube.
Yeah, I have.
Apart from the name, what did you think?
Oh, I like it. So I think it's great, but the name just annoys me.
So you enjoyed the comic and the cartoon.
Those are good.
Do you appreciate the idea behind it?
Yes, but I really dislike the title.
Our discussion that you and I had a lot is like when you were growing up, there weren't all, you know, these female merchandise, you know, superheroes. It was, you know, you think about like the action figures you had, like those I forget what they were called, but you had like that Wolverine and Spider-Man, the really big superhero, they were Superhero Friends, I think is what they were called. And because they're, who did I have? Or who do we have? Who did you have? Because there's Wolverine, there's Green Goblin, there's Spider-Man. I don't know if there was a Hulk. I don't think we had Hulk.
I don't know.
And I don't know if we had Batman. We didn't have Batman or Superman. Mm-mm. But then I remember there was also Star Wars one because there's Chewbacca. Oh, there's a 3PO, his eyes lit up.
I had two Chewbaccas.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
And then there's R2. But yeah, see, I don't even think there was any women characters.
No.
Which that's the problem is, you know, there weren't any of those. Usually when they make a line of action figures, you know, sometimes there would be one female character in the assortment. But then the problem in the case, usually like the case would have two of each character or something like that, but then it would only have one of the female.
Yeah.
So the idea is, oh, boys don't want to play with the girl characters, so they don't want them to be stuck on the store shelves. And then, you know, because with what some stores do, they won't put out new stock until the other stuff is off the pegs. Mm-hmm. If they have like cases of, you know, the same assortment sitting in the back, they're not going to order more. And then, you know, people aren't going to buy more. So that's kind of the idea where their figure is like, oh, you know, boys don't want to play with girl characters. So they're not making a lot. But then what's always been the problem, which the female characters always tend to be worth more with the collectors because they're female and because there is less of them. Mm-hmm. So that they're, you know, rare. So you have all that. But then it's still ideas. It's like that no one wants to play with it. Even though, like with comics... you know, especially Marvel, you know, Marvel has made a lot more female-led comics. You know, you have, you know, Wolverine now is X-23. There's Squirrel Girl. There's Ms. Marvel. There's, who else? I mean, Iron Man now is Ironheart, which is Riri. Mm-hmm. That's another example. People are like, why are they still calling it Iron Man? It's Invincible Iron Man. If it's, you know, why not call her Iron Woman? And they said they didn't want to call her Iron Woman because it's just a cheesy name and it's, you know, whatever. But if they change the series to Ironheart, people are going to be like, who's Ironheart? And they're not going to want to buy it. But if it's Iron Man, they're like, oh. So it kind of doesn't make sense that they're calling it Iron Man, but it's a way for people to associate it since the armor's AI is an AI version of Tony Stark, so he's still kind of there. So we have that. See, what other? I mean, there was an Elektra. I guess it was a miniseries because I don't know if it's still going. So, you know, we're seeing a lot more women, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, this, you're lucky that you don't see all this, but then there's a lot of male readers that get mad at this, that they don't like all this stuff. But it's just like, it doesn't matter if you have, I don't know if I mentioned Wasp. There's a new Wasp. But it, you know, it doesn't matter if we have these other series or miniseries, because you're still going to have Spider-Man and, you know, Daredevil and, you know, whatever. But I guess you don't necessarily have, you know, Wolverine was killed, but now we have Old Man Logan. But it's just some people are just mad that it's like, no, it's good. If more women are reading comics, if sales are increasing, then that means that the publishers are going to make more comics. Not necessarily like, oh, let's only make comics based on female characters. You know, they're not going to do that. But if you can expand the readership, because also going back to like with you, you know, it's not like women readers are just reading the women led comics. You know, they're reading Spider-Man, they're reading Avengers or whatever. You know, so it's just, I don't understand why some people get so angry about certain things. And it's just like with the Ghostbusters when, you know, they, let's do Ghostbusters without women. And then, you know, a lot of people got mad because they really liked the first, you know, Ghostbusters, and they're saying it's ruining, you know, the franchise and all that. Or like with Thor, you know, so Jane Foster is Thor in the comics, and people got mad at that because she's called Thor. Thor is no longer called Thor. He's now Odin's son. And, you know, I get that where people, if they really like the character, that they get angry that their characters, it's kind of like a slap in the face. It's saying, it's not like that was his code name. That's his name. His name is Thor.
Yeah.
But now he's not worthy, so he lost his name, which kind of doesn't make sense, but we have all that. So it's nuts. But, you know, I'm all for having, you know, Tomb Raider and, you know, stuff like that. So let's have more diversity. You know, because Mad Max. I was about to say Road Warrior. So Mad Max Fury Road, because you know Furiosa, a lot of, you know, she was great in there, and I almost think she was a bigger part of the movie than Mad Max was.
Yeah.
Because you know she just had a bigger role, and he, you know, didn't talk much, and so I think it's cool that we have all that, and that you get to see all the stuff. So like one of the things we want to talk about this week specifically is kind of related to this. Is Wonder Woman. So Wonder Woman just came out on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And this was a very emotional movie for you.
Yep.
So going back to when you saw it in theaters, what was emotional about it?
Basically for two different reasons. One of them was because it's like my first movie that I've seen that's like a really influential female character. And also, she's, like, one of my favorite characters, and I've always liked her, and I'm really glad that they're finally making a movie. And then also, just because of, like, the time period and, like, knowing that it was based off of something that actually happened, that makes it, like, even more sad to think about, that it's not just, like, a made-up story. Like, it happened.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I think when you were two, you dressed up as Wonder Woman for Halloween.
I thought it was four. Okay.
I think you were two.
I don't know.
I mean, look at that picture.
I had a lot of hair for a two-year-old.
Well, you did have a lot of hair when you're very young. You had a lot of hair right away.
Yeah.
All those curls. But I'm trying to think how you picked that costume, because I didn't, you know, I didn't push it on you. Mm-mm. I was like, oh, take this, and you enjoyed it, and you know, you wore it.
I love that costume.
Yeah. And then you put on the cat.
Yeah. Oh, he looks so cute in it.
And he was not happy because he's a boy.
Well,
and you put a dress on him.
Boys can wear dresses.
Yes, boys can wear dresses. Yeah,
he looks cute because you put the tiara on him and his little ears hold it up.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, yeah, Wonder Woman was for me, like when I went to London to and got to talk to Patty Jenkins and when I first saw the No Man's Land scene, I mean, that was just, it's such a powerful scene. But even before that, I think part of it, like you said, because you know it's true events, and because Wonder Woman is kind of innocent in a way, you know, not necessarily naive, but you know, she hasn't seen, you know, she's lived a sheltered life. Like when they're attacked, they don't necessarily know what bullets are because they've been there for so long and they haven't seen bullets. So for her, you know, just to watch it, you know, fly by her, and she's like, oh, what's that? And then you see that, you know, someone got shot and it's probably dead. Because, you know, she got shot in the gut or whatever. But then the other part is, like, when they're walking across the bridge and you see that soldiers coming back that are all injured and everything. And it is emotional. I mean, because, you know, if you really think about that, if you immerse yourself in the story and just think about that, and it's just, it's pretty heavy. And apparently Ludendorff, he was a, a real dude. He was a real bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
Which I read, and I was like, I didn't know that. And I guess, you know, he was pretty evil, but obviously they added some things to it. Because I think he was involved with, like, mustard gas, or, you know, he was trying to push that stuff. Not mustard, and he put on, like, a hamburger. We have all that, and it was just, you know, it was just, it's such a good movie, and just seeing, and thinking about it compared to other versions, I mean, I think they really got the character right, you know, because there's always, even in comics, you know, there's been different versions, but watching the special features, you know, one of the, well, so Geoff Johns mentioned the one scene in the alley where she lassos the guy, bad guy, she drags him, and then he said, like, a normal superhero would put their foot down on him and, like, to keep him down, and then, you know, start asking questions, whatever. But she kneels down, gets next to him to kind of see if he's okay, and it's like, okay, you know, who sent you? What's going on? And, or, you know, it was a nice, that little touch, which I didn't really think about it until it was pointed out there, where you just see that, you know, she was very compassionate. Now, you watch some of the 70s Wonder Woman with Linda Carter. So what did you think about that?
I mean, while I'm definitely going to like the more modern Wonder Woman, like that, it's not like I disliked it. I thought it was all right as well.
Yeah. But even for me, you know, because I watched it when I was a kid, and it was kind of hard to keep my interest in it, because I think we watched like maybe two or three episodes, and, you know, it's just, the stories are just kind of simple, I guess. I don't know. And I mean, because I don't recall any like major supervillains in there. You know, they kind of shied away from there. I don't know if they ever brought like Cheetah or anyone in there. I can't remember. But, you know, it was more, I guess, grounded, like actual, you know, corporate bad guys or whatever. And, you know, you have that 70s, you know, the lower production value. But
yeah.
So it's hard. It's not fair to compare them. But we also saw the, I think it was 2011 TV pilot with Adrian Palicki.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I both like Adrian Palicki.
Yeah, I like her.
I mean, she was great on, you know, Friday Night Lights and, of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
As much as I like her as an actress, that was not a good version of Wonder Woman.
No.
And, you know, you can't put it all on her because it was a script. I mean, that's a good example of the differences in Wonder Woman.
So serious.
She was not compassionate at all.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, when you have a character that is an Amazon, that is a warrior, you know, yeah, there's going to be that fierceness or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in some interpretations, we've seen, you know, Wonder Woman wouldn't hesitate to kill because she's a warrior and, you know, someone's evil and all that. But that TV version was just, you didn't really see that she cared about the kid. There's a kid that, you know, from a low-income family, he was got accepted to a college. I'm assuming it was like a scholarship or something like that. But then I guess he must have been taking some drugs or steroid or some not necessarily steroid, but like a supplement. I think it was what it was. It's kind of like steroids, but not as bad as that. But there was something tainted in it, and he ended up, you know, bleeding from his eyes and nose and ears. And then was in the hospital, so she was concerned about him. So that there was a little bit of compassion there. That was kind of what was driving her. That, you know, she wanted to find out who, you know, evil Elizabeth Hurley and her pharmaceutical company. But it was just, it was so weird the approach of the show, because Wonder Woman also had a company, and I thought she was doing like a pharmaceutical, like a makeup or cosmetic company, but she had other things because they had merchandise. There was dolls, and, you know, so she basically branded herself, and, you know, and she had her meetings and all that. But it's just so weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then the interesting thing is when the images first came out, you know, she was wearing pants, and that was around 2011. That was a time in the comics when she started wearing pants.
I remember that.
And people flipped out. They're like, Wonder Woman shouldn't wear pants. And, you know, when you compare that, because in the pilot, she ends up having both outfits. She has, like, the traditional, what I always call a bathing suit outfit. And as much as I totally appreciate and respect the iconic look, but, you know, she didn't even start off with that in the comics. She had a skirt. So, but you know, everyone knows her from that look. It just, to me, it was always a weird thing, even though it never really bothered me. But she's wearing a bathing suit and boots. It's like, you know, you think about, you know, you wouldn't do that.
No.
You know, you wear a bathing suit, you wear flip-flops or nothing. But it's like to wear big boots, and it's always been such a weird outfit. So thankfully, with the movie version now, it's kind of armor. Yeah. But then there's a skirt, and it's like, you know, like a leather or whatever. So it seems more practical. Because mm-hmm. again, if you're just walking around in a bathing suit, it just seems really weird. It was interesting that in the TV version, they use both the pants and the bathing suit outfit. Didn't really explain why. Maybe it's just she has a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something I've always said. It's, you know, why should superheroes always have to wear the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't wear the same outfit every day. So, you know, why should they? Which goes back to Wonder Woman in the movie. She only has that one outfit.
Oh, true.
Because she took it from the vault on Themyscira. So she's had that for all these years. And, you know, she could wash and everything, but I guess it must be, like, super durable that doesn't wear away or...
Yeah.
So maybe it repels dirt and stink and all that. So that's weird. But yeah, and the TV version was just... It's I guess it's good that we didn't have that TV version. Because
mm-hmm.
that could have maybe, it wouldn't necessarily affected the movie version, but it could have pushed things differently or whatever. And it was just, it's so cheesy. But the movie, I always enjoyed the special features on big movies like that. And one of the things that, like, I've talked to you about is just seeing, like, the behind the scenes stuff when they light the scenes. It always just blows me away how they can do that, you know, because when you see it done, I mean, everything looks kind of cheap and everything, but then when you got the movie, it's just, there's such an atmosphere, you mm-hmm. know, just all the colors and everything, and that I'm so amazed by that how they can do that and just bring it to life. And they made a lot of sets. I think, you know, I didn't really think about it while I was watching it. It's just like everything they did, but, you know, when they're like in the, there's like a warehouse that had like all these weapons and bombs and stuff, but they like made everything, and then, you know, they're trying to make the, even though everything was like black and gray, you know, they're trying to do different shades so it just didn't all blend in, and they shut down part of, you know, London when they did the armistice, but whatever, at the end when, you know, the war was over.
Yeah, they're celebrating.
Yeah, so they shut it down for, I think, the weekend or something like that, and like, or no, maybe it was just a day, I don't know. But then the train station, they had to shut that down for
yeah.
a day, a couple platforms. And then they had to bring in like a replica train. So it's like all that stuff, you know, a lot of times they build sets and then they use green screen to fill in the background. So it's just really cool how they did that. The same thing with the beach scene. You know, there was a whole segment about all the Amazons that they brought in and just all the training they did.
Yeah.
Just like the weight training and you know, they're saying how, like, everyone had different abilities and they all kind of worked together. And so, like, if one couldn't do something as well as another one, they kind of worked together. So they got to know each other. And
that's cool.
And then showing how they filmed everything. And they kind of did in parts to make it look like there was more people. Because I think they mm-hmm. said there's, like, 100 people. But then they had to film it, like, over different days, like at the same time of day to try to get the same lighting
yeah.
and all that. So it's really cool. And just all the stunts. And I can't even, you know, and you don't even think about that. Imagine, okay, you have your script. And then, okay, there's going to be this big battle on the beach. It's so weird. You know, again, I think we all just take it for granted where yeah. you think about each person has to be in a certain position, has to do a certain thing. So you got the stunt coordinator, whatever, you know, this person has to fly this way while this is happening, and if one person messes up in the back, you have to hope you can either erase that or cover it, or it's yeah. not that big of a scene. So it's just really amazing how they can do all that, and it's just really, really cool to see that, and just how passionate, you know, they were about that, like Patty Jenkins, because, you know, she always loved Wonder Woman, and she said that, you know, she wanted to make the type of origin movie that she wanted to see.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was really wanted to do it justice and all that. Now, what was interesting, this might be a little bit of spoiler, because there is a one of the special features was an epilogue with Etta Candy. So if you plan on watching it, so this is just going to be like like 3 minutes, so you know, fast forward if you don't want to hear this. But we see after, you know, I guess they didn't say where Wonder Woman wasn't there. She, you know, she left after, you know, Steve was gone. But she meets up with the other dudes, Steve's, you know, friends, allies, or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, she's like, we have a new mission. And, you know, she's like, I'm in charge, which, you know, at first they're like, what? And then she kind of showed that she could take care of things. But what was really cool about it is, you know, they got these, they're supposed to retrieve an object that was found and take it to America. And it was a mother box. So when I saw it, I was like, whoa. Because I wonder, you know, this is a tie to, it could be a tie to Justice League, because, you know, there's a mother box there. Silas Stone, Cyborg's dad, had as a mother box that you see in the trailer. So I wonder if it's just the one mother box that they have. Mm-hmm. So they find it, and then the government gets it, and then he, wherever he's working, because I don't think he's at Star Labs, but, you know, then somehow he gets it. But in the trailer, it looked like he had the mother box in his living room. Which, it's like, if you got some weird interdimensional thing that, you obviously is not from that world, you know, you can tell it's different technology. You don't just keep it in your living room. So that would be cool. The other thing that came out, like, after the movie, so the character Chief, apparently he said that he's a demigod.
Yeah.
Because he's from, I think he said he was Nappy, who was this, I forgot what he was, but they also commented how when Wonder Woman, when Diana first met him, she shakes his hand and she doesn't shake anyone else's hand. So there's supposed to be like that kind of respect, or somehow she knew, even though they never really commented on it. So it's possible he could show up later.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see that. It would be good for her to have some tie to the others. Because I don't think they've said anything yet. But it's like, what would you want out of a sequel?
Ooh.
Because, okay, so we're going to see Wonder Woman in Justice League.
Yeah.
Which is modern time. But if they do a sequel, would you want it to pick up right after the first one? Would you want it to be, you know, World War II? Or would you want it to be, you know, 50 years later or in the modern time?
I think I'd want it to be, like, 50 years later, but then have some flashbacks, like, showing what happened, like, right after the first movie ended.
I mean, would you want it to be in modern day or just like somewhere in the middle?
Somewhere in the middle, I think.
Yeah, because I, for some reason, I have in my head like oh, they're gonna do something in the 80s, but I don't think they would do that, because usually when you do stuff in the 80s, it has a lighter tone, like or Stranger Things, even though Stranger Things and It are darker, but you have that 80s levity, whatever, where it's, you know, there's the humor and, you know, you can make fun of the era. So, yeah, I don't know if they said, because I think Patty Jenkins has signed. I really should have looked this up before, but I know that they were working on signing her up for that. And one of the things that, because I think she didn't get paid as much to direct the first one because she was a woman, you know, woman. Basically, for some reason in Hollywood, there's this big inequality, whatever, where, you know, male actors get paid a lot more than female actors. Now, you can make the argument, you know, for whatever reason, male-driven movies tend to be bigger. And whether it's just how it's promoted, I mean, you look at, like, all the big action movies, you know, we're starting to see more female action movies, which is good. But a lot of the big blockbuster movies have been with male leads. You know, you look at, you know, you got your Tom Cruise or, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and, you know, so all these big movies stars were guys. Hopefully we'll see more women. Like Atomic Blonde, I'm not sure how that did, but, you know, Wonder Woman did really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was like the first movie that had like over 100 million debut from a female director or female lead character, all this whatever stuff. So I think she was kind of, I mean, she deserved.
Yeah.
I just don't, it doesn't make sense to me when you have someone directing a movie, it shouldn't matter if they're male or female. It's like you pay them, you know, for whatever the budget of the movie is, or yeah. So I don't understand Hollywood, and I get it if you're a more acclaimed director, you would have you should get a bigger salary because mm-hmm. you have more of a track record. And but it's just a weird thing where when you look at it, like how, you know, in other professions you don't have that inequality. Like, you know, teachers all make the same thing. It doesn't matter because there's like one pay salary. So it just depends on how many years you work. But in Hollywood, you know, there's a big discrepancy. Because like, how would you feel if you were, you know, working and then some boy was making more?
Oh, I would be so pissed if we were doing the same exact thing and he was getting paid more. That's not fair.
Yeah. would you be protesting?
Yeah, of course.
Or would you quit?
And I would not quit first. I would make trouble for them. I would make it really difficult for them. And then I would bring a lot of attention to it so that people like working outside of the job would know what was going on. And then if they didn't do anything about it, I would quit. And then I would go on to do something more successful so that I could show I didn't need them.
So watch out, people. When you start working, better make sure. They'll tell the boys, don't tell Sky how much you're getting paid.
Oh, if they kept it a secret, that's also not all right, because then they know what they're doing is wrong.
Well, because that's the thing. You don't normally talk about your salaries.
No.
You're not, like, when I was at CBS, when I was, you know, at GameStop, I have no idea how much other people were making.
Yeah.
And they had no idea how much I was making, because you kind of don't talk about it. Which, again, it's not really fair, but, you know, some people could be making more money if they've been working longer, and then depending on what their output is and all that. But yeah, it's salary is always a weird thing. You know, it's I guess it's very a personal thing.
Yeah. You know,
because it kind of defines your worth, like what you are.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you are in Hollywood, you know, that it's such a public thing. You know, like so and so is getting paid $5 million to do this movie, and this person is getting $10 million. So it's just a weird thing. So luckily, I don't have to worry about that. So Wonder Woman was just great. And then we have Justice League. It's coming out in November,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty close. And it's good that it won't be that long. But yeah. Now that we've gotten to see more of her, to see how it works. And I hope Justice League is good.
Me too.
I mean, you like Batman v Superman.
I love Batman.
Batman v Superman.
I like the movie too.
And it should have been better. It was just so dark and serious.
Yeah.
And the whole Martha thing, which, you know, some people joke about. Marvel Comics jokes about it a lot. Deadpool jokes in the Deadpool comics. He's mentioned it. So hopefully it will be better. What's going to be interesting about it is, so Zack Snyder did most of the work, you know, directing it, but then he had to step out towards the end, unfortunately, because of family stuff, which I told you about. And Joss Whedon came in, but then apparently now, so Joss Whedon, he directed the Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he did a show, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I think I told you about that one. I was watching a bunch of them for the I think it was the 20th anniversary. So he, you know, he was always this guy that was a supporter of strong female characters and that. But apparently, because he was going to direct a Wonder Woman movie back in, he wrote a script.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently the script is pretty bad, what people were saying. And then there's all this other stuff that's come out about him from his ex-wife. And so supposedly maybe he's not the nicest, you know, whatever. But regardless of that, it'll be interesting to see how Justice League is with Zack Snyder's influence and with Joss Whedon's influence. I'm hoping that with Geoff Johns taking a bigger role in the movies that, you know, he can try to make sure it's not as dark.
Yeah.
And serious, you know, throw in a little humor, but not too much humor. You know, that's something Marvel does a lot, and you know, that's fine, but you know, you can make some light moments. And because, you know, the thing is, when you watch these movies, you want to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, just like with the comics, you know, you see these bright, powerful characters, and you just, you know, shouldn't be so grim, unless it's like the Punisher.
True.
So we'll have to see how that goes. As far as TV stuff, which is coming up, so they announced the big CW crossover. So it's going to be Crisis on Earth X. But the question is, where's Earth X? I don't think that's anyone's Earth, because Barry's Earth, are they calling that Earth? That's Earth 1,
yeah,
I think. Because Earth 2 was with Harrison Wells, Reverse Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, was Reverse Flash from Earth 2? Or was he from just the future? No, he wasn't from Earth 2. No, wait, was he from Earth 2?
Because
Harrison Wells was trying to fight him. Anyways, so that's Earth 2, where Jesse's from, Jesse
yeah.
Quick. And then I don't, what they call Kara's, they didn't call it Earth 3. Or did they just not call it anything?
I don't know if they ever named it.
It still bothers me.
They're in different worlds.
No. Well, yeah, that there's that. Like there's that. The unfortunate thing, because they started on different networks and all that. But what bothers me is when Flash appeared in Supergirl for that little crossover, there was no mention of it on the Flash.
Yeah, they just like skipped straight to when he got back.
Because he had the big device thing on his chest, on his costume, and then he went through a portal. He was there for a few days.
Yeah.
And then came back, and he never was like, hey guys, I went to this other world, and there's this alien girl or woman.
He's freaking out. Even He's if cool. I have his life, like doing all that crazy stuff, like that's still something you tell your friends.
Especially Cisco.
Yeah. Because,
you know, he would say, you know, because he's the one that did... made the portal and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just weird. But then when they did that alien crossover, the aliens were attacking. They brought her in to help them. And then they're like, oh, this is Kara. She's from, you know, another dimension.
How do you know Kara?
Yeah, so they didn't really touch on it. So that was just weird. So we're going to see this again. And I guess, so here's it's the official wording. With all of these heroes in town to celebrate Barry and Iris's wedding, villains from Earth X crash the festivities with a deadly agenda. So where the heck, what is Earth X? That's what, I feel like I just don't even know what's going on. I mean, nothing's happened since the summer, you know, since the last season. But I feel, I don't know any what they're talking about. I mean, the crossovers are fun, but it's just, that's the problem, like you mentioned, how Supergirl is on another world.
Mm-hmm.
And because then they're going to do Black Lightning, but I think they said that it's not necessarily in the Arrowverse, as they call it, but that they may do a crossover at some point. So, I don't know. So, other news, a couple actors from Unbreakable are going to be in the next M. Night Shyamalan. So, there was Unbreakable. And then there was Split.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're doing, the next one's going to be called Glass, which is...
Mr. Glass.
Yeah. So it looks like the actor that played his kid is going to be in it again. But then, who's this lady?
I don't know.
I don't remember what role she played. Oh. that's Elijah. That's Mr. Glass's mom.
Oh.
So... I guess, yeah, they never said anything if she died or any of that. I am excited about that. I can't wait to see.
Kanye talks about Unbreakable.
Yeah, whatever.
He says, Unbreakable, what you thought they'd call me Mr. Glass in one of his songs.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's the only way he can... He's like, oh, look, I'm cool. I can mention a cool movie.
It made the song cooler.
He needed all the help he can get.
No. Music was great.
Oh, CW is doing a Sabrina TV show.
Really?
So, I don't know what's involved with it. Archie, or Riverdale, is...
Oh, yeah.
I think it's doing really well for Archie Comics and for the CW. Because, like, with Entertainment Weekly, they had a poll, they had a contest. Because it was last week's issue that was in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
With Riverdale on the cover. So they had like a cover battle, and I think it was like a two-part vote. And, you know, people vote like who they wanted on the cover, like what TV show. And Riverdale won. So there's that popularity. And of course, there's all the people all about Cole Sprouse.
Yeah.
And that. So I guess they're going to be doing, because the Sabrina comic is A Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's going to be an hour long. But let's see. They say it's going to be like Rosemary's Baby and The Exorcist. So it's not going to be like the Melissa Joan Hart TV version, because you've seen some of it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So, and she said that she's not involved with it, because, you know, she's like, oh, they're making, you know, she's excited that they're making it, and, you know, she's doing other things now. Yeah, so I don't know if there'll be a connection. Let's see, because the same Roberto Garcia, who's the showrunner for Riverdale, he's going to be overseeing it. That's a dude that needs to write more Afterlife with Archie comics, because we haven't had... That's been left hanging for the longest time. It's ridiculous, because that was such a good comic that you won't read. So, let's see. I'm trying to see, based on this, if there's going to be any connection. I don't... What do you think? Should they make a... Should they have Sabrina tie into Riverdale?
I don't know. I just feel as if this version of Riverdale is, like, more serious, and I can't really imagine magic working into it. But if they did, I would be excited to see what they did.
Yeah, because that's the weird thing, because, you know, it sounds like they're going to do, like, a darker, moodier Sabrina, which is, like, you know, like the comic.
That's graphic.
Yeah, so that's the cover. Yeah, you haven't read any of these comics. I wasn't sure. I'm on the fence with this comic.
Okay.
So, yeah, I should have you read some of these. So, it would be weird, because even though, you know, she is part of Riverdale and all that, it would be weird that if they said, like, like you just said, that, like, oh, their magic exists, even if it's dark, because things are pretty dark in Riverdale.
Yeah.
And especially with the way it left off. But, yeah, I part of me thinks they shouldn't do it, even though it would make, I mean, it would make sense to introduce her on Riverdale and then spin her off, you know, because that way you would you know, guarantee getting the Riverdale fans like, oh, we should check this out. And, and then they could maybe do, you know, crossover appearances and, you know, have Archie show up or Jughead or, you know, anything like that. So we'll have to see what they do. Thor Ragnarok's coming out soon.
I'm excited for that.
But what?
Well, me and then, like, all of my friends that have watched the trailers with me were kind of noticing that it seems very similar to Guardians of the Galaxy, which I get that, like, Guardians of the Galaxy was really successful, but I don't know. I just feel like Thor is a little different, and they're quite similar.
How are they similar?
Well, like, all the space stuff, like, all the spaceships and the crazy makeup and alien... What, I don't know what they are.
But doesn't that make sense? Asgardians are kind of like aliens, it seems like. They're not necessarily gods. So that's that kind of borderline thing where, you know, and then the magic stuff is kind of more science. You know, they kind of sort of hinted at that. For whatever reason, if he ends up in space on this other planet, shouldn't it make sense that it would kind of feel like Guardians of the Galaxy it's the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, I guess.
And then, so he's going to have, you know, new teammates, and he's going to have Valkyrie.
I don't like it.
Why? What's wrong? Why don't you like Valkyrie?
I don't like change.
Is that just why you don't like it? Because, like, oh, who's this person that's teaming up with him? This dog is licking my
Because I like Thor with the Avengers.
Well, the Avengers are busy. They didn't call him during Civil War.
Yeah, that was rude.
Well, you saw that.
They would have won. Whoever had him on their side probably would have won.
But then the question, that's things you wouldn't know where whose side. Well, Hulk took off.
Well, yeah, but.
And then somehow that's the big question. How the heck did Hulk? The last time we saw him, he left in a Quinjet, and then I think they found a Quinjet, but he wasn't there. So how does he get for whatever from Earth out in space?
Kidnapped.
By who?
Someone with a spaceship.
I guess. It's weird that he would, and no one noticed it. You know, there's no detection, which maybe was cloaked or, I mean, I guess the same thing. You know, when Star-Lord, you know, was taken, there's, you know, no one probably detected it. So, but yeah, so how did he get taken? Why did they specifically know, like, oh, here's this powerful being, let's take him for this gladiator world and we can...
Oh, that's just weird. I don't like the whole, like, put people in the ring and make them fight thing.
Like Hunger Games?
Yeah.
He loved Hunger Games.
Yeah, but that's because my favorite character survived.
Yeah. Yeah. And we won't go into the one that didn't survive.
I can't read the ending of the book. I always end it, like, at the good part, and then I just pretend that the rest of it is happy.
And you just put it in the freezer, like Joey?
Yes.
Or like Phoebe's mom, like, cut, credits.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, the unfortunate thing, let me ask you.
Yes.
How do you feel about movie trailers? What's your general opinion? You know, you see the different trailers, you know, we watch a couple, and when you go to movies, oh my gosh, there is like a billion movies or trailers.
That makes me so excited, because then I'm like, it's kind of weird, because then I see like all these movies, and I'm like, oh, I want to see that, and then like I forget what movie I'm actually seeing, and I have to remember.
Okay, so now, think about when you first saw the Thor Ragnarok trailer, and then you saw the Hulk. Yeah. I mean, that was like, whoa, that's awesome, and you see that. But now imagine if the first time you saw the Hulk was when you're actually watching a movie.
That would be a bigger surprise.
So, because like the other thing with Kingsman, so that was a movie I saw. You didn't see it because you're at a friend's. And we're pretty sure you saw the first Kingsman.
I did not. I've seen clips.
We're positive you saw it.
The thing is, I'm pretty positive I haven't seen it for two reasons. First one is because I've been trying to see it because you guys keep talking about it. And then the second one is because I was invited to go with my friends to see the second one, but I said no because I haven't seen the first one.
So, because here's the thing. The first one, the villain was Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
I love Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, he's a cool guy. Yeah, he's a cool guy and everything. He's great in everything he does. But I thought, as much as I love Mark Miller, who created the characters and you know, did the comic, I felt that Samuel L. Jackson's character was too over the top.
Yeah.
It was too much. So when we, you know, had all that, but then I thought, like, you and your mom really, like, liked him and thought it. And I was like, ugh. So anyways, you saw the church scene.
Yes.
And with Harry. And yeah. I think, I don't know if you saw what happened when he walks out of the church.
Yeah, I did.
So he gets killed. But then, in the trailer, you see
he's
back
alive.
Somehow. Matthew Vaughn, the director of movies, he was not happy that that was in the trailer.
Oh.
Because some directors have input. Like, I think James Gunn cuts his own trailers.
It's an awesome name.
So I think, you know, like for the Guardians trailers, I think he figures out, you know, he has enough say whether it's in his contract or whatever. But for Kingsman, because I don't think, I'm trying to remember if they showed Harry in the first trailer, if it was the second one, but he wasn't happy that people found out ahead of time.
Yeah.
So that's the problem with trailers, that, you know, you, all this stuff is spoiled before you see it. What, you still think the name?
Yeah.
Sky Gun.
No, oh, that's so cool.
Okay.
Just imagine like a gun, like, I don't know, like named James or something. It's kind of like funny to me. I don't know why.
So I still think you need to marry someone last name Walker. Be Skywalker.
Walker. Skywalker.
Yeah. That's why you need to marry someone. You just got to sign. We talked about this so many times.
Yeah.
Because I said you're supposed to marry Paul Walker, even though he's way older than you. And unfortunately, he's not alive. But
also has a kid, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, you're a kid older than you, I think.
Really?
I think so. So anyways, Kingsman, I don't think we're going to get to much comic talk this week, so I apologize for that. There's a lot of good comics, but nothing really huge that jumped out that's worth like a full discussion. So I apologize if you're hoping for more comic talk, but I'll maybe try to run through a couple of them. But for Kingsman, I'm going to try to avoid spoilers since you haven't seen it and since some other people may not have seen it yet. But what I think in some ways I kind of liked it a little more than the first, partly because you didn't have all the setup. Now you know, there was a lot of fun when you see, you know, the character being introduced to the world of the secret, you know, Kingsman, you know, all the gadgets of training and, you know, all the stuff he had to go through and all that. So this one, you know, he's already established. So he's doing all these cool scenes and things. And, you know, there's fights and all that. I also felt, talking on Twitter, someone mentioned that there wasn't quite like a big church scene.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the big crazy action. I felt that there was more little action scenes like that. Like, there's a lot of crazy actions where cameras going all over the place and it's just like kind of sped up and the thing is going. So maybe there wasn't a big, huge, crazy, like 2 or 3 minute scene like that. But there was a lot of smaller ones where, you know, you got to see action throughout. So I really enjoyed it. And I liked the kind of twist. You know, we see the Statesman agency. It was like Channing Tatum and, you know, other people. You know, Channing Tatum didn't have a big role. I won't say anymore, but, you know, he had a role, you know, he was in there, but not as much as I thought he was. I thought he was going to be, once you meet him, I thought he was there for, you know, going to be hanging out with them, fighting side by side, but.
Are they American?
Who?
The Statesman?
Yeah.
Is that why they're like all cowboys?
Yeah, that's why he's. Okay. They go to Kentucky.
That's funny.
I won't say. Maybe that's saying too much right there, but not really. It was an enjoyable movie. Lots of violence and, you know, some crazy stuff. So you definitely you got to watch the first one if you said you haven't seen it, which I think you did see it.
I don't think I did.
Speaking of comics and Mark Miller, so they did put out a Miller annual. This is really interesting. It was basically they did like a new talent search, so it's kind of cool where I forget how the specifics are, but people were able to submit ideas where there was like kind of like a contest, and then they wrote, you know, there was a writer and artist writing Mark Miller's characters and new stories. So we had Kick-Ass. There's a Kick-Ass story. There's Huck, Superior, Nemesis, Empress, and Super Crooks. So there's short stories. At first, it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to read something that, you know, even though it's Mark Miller's characters, I don't know if I want to read it if it's written by someone else. Mm-hmm. And even with some of the art, you know, where it's like, you know, with Kick-Ass, you know, it's John Romita Jr. doing the art in the series. It's like, oh, now we got someone else. So it's weird, but it's also kind of cool because you get a different interpretation. So you have that. So definitely pick up that comic if you haven't gone to your comic store yet. It's $2.99. So you have that. And it's got a nice cheesy cover on there. Also from Image this week was Descender. So last week's issue was crazy, so you want to get that. Big comics, let's see, Batman the Red Death, that's over there, I showed you, with the crazy.
Yeah.
This one, so we talked about Dark Knight Metal with all the different versions of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, you see this Batman, because basically it's like the Batman, it's a Flash. So you find out how he goes about that. Because it's not Barry Allen. It's Bruce Wayne. But basically, how does he get the Speed Force? And, you know, what happens to the Flash? And it's not really a nice thing. So you want to check that out. Batman 31 is also out with Joker and Two-Face and Kite Man. So that was pretty good. Batwoman was out this week. Space Ghost, that was cool. So check those out. From Marvel, all new Guardians Galaxy is building up towards Infinity Quest, I think is a story that's coming up. But they're looking for Infinity Stones. So we got some interesting things there. Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows. I'm really enjoying this. Ryan Stegman's writing it now. and, you know, stuff. It's the alternate version where Spider-Man and Mary Jane are married. They have a daughter. And so there's some cool things there. Jean Grey is, you know, she's kind of haunted by, like, adult Jean Grey ghost. And whether, you know, where does this entity come from? Marvel announced this week that adult Jean Grey is coming back. I think it's been like 14 years since she died. You know, so we have this young version of Jean, but original Jean's coming back. I don't know exactly how, if it's through Phoenix, because Phoenix wasn't Jean. It was the Phoenix Force basically took her essence and thought it was Jean, but it wasn't Jean. So, yeah, we have that. Spider-Man 2 came out, so we find out more about the Marvel 616 version of Miles Morales and how he's different from the Ultimate Universe version. I'm still confused as how, so the Ultimate Universe, some people from the Ultimate Universe are in a Marvel Universe now because the Ultimate Universe is gone, but I was under the impression that they didn't remember it, but there's some people have been talking about the other world, which I think would be weird, but then someone like Genki is like, he doesn't know, so I think we're just supposed to ignore that. The Star Wars annual was cool. It has art by Michael Walsh. It's a really cool Han Solo and Princess Leia story. So you should definitely check those out. All right, so that is it. That's all the time we have because you got to get going. We have things for next week we want to talk about. If you would like to support us, so again, go to patreon.com/gmanfromheck. So anything that you can, you know, help, whether $1, $5, $10 a month, you know, it will help out a lot so we can do more things. Like at some point, you know, it'd be great if we could go to a convention.
Yeah.
Like New York Comic Con's coming up. I won't be there, so I'm kind of sad. It's kind of weird that, because I think I've been going since like 2012, maybe. So it'll be weird not going there. But so yeah, anything you can do can help. And as I mentioned, we will have a bonus commentary podcast for the Jimmy Olsen level on Patreon. So that will not show up in this podcast feed because it's just for those extra special supporters. You're all special, but... Mm-hmm. But yeah, so again, incentive for you. You get something, we get something, and everyone's happy, and we can do all that. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to DJ Ogre for his theme song. So hope you guys dig it, and that's it. Anything you want to add?
No.
No?
No.
Go buy Wonder Woman on Blu-ray. Support it. And go see Kingsman 2. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.